morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have you been this week?
Well, coming out and seeing almost, well, not frost on the windows yet, but...
It's that time of year, huh? And we had that crazy storm earlier in the week.
Weather has been incredible.
I was out doing some listing appointments earlier in the week on Tuesday, and after that storm hit, there were some in North Richland, there were some big trees that went down. I saw a couple a couple over some cars, smashed some cars.
There was one on a house. They thought the roof was going to fall in. My pool looks like the Yakima Delta now.
Yakima Delta.
I was at the Seahawks game last weekend with that hour delay they had there.
Right during that, yes,
that
exactly.
Was incredible. I was sitting in the hallway for an hour just watching the field getting drilled with these quarter-sized raindrops.
And we actually had one of our listings. I mean, this is real-life real estate stuff here. We had one of our listings. They had a big willow tree in the backyard, and it got hit with a direct bolt of lightning, split it into three pieces, and it's all charred up the side.
Wow.
So now one of those things where we are in between, it's under contract with the buyer, and so now the seller, prior to closing, has to clean all of that up. So we had to get another tree company in there. They had to take part of that tree down and get it all cleaned up and put back for the new buyer. So those storms really create havoc for us in the real estate industry also. And so we always like to start off, though, before we jump into our topic kind of related to the storms and stuff, we're going to talk about this week getting your house ready for winter and what happens in the next couple months. That's the biggest question we've gotten in the last couple weeks is it time to list? But we talked about on the show a couple months ago one of the most expensive homes to hit the market in the U.S., and that was the Versace Mansion. Mm-hmm. It was priced, if you remember, at $125 million down in Florida. And this place was pretty incredible. Now, a couple price drops on that house. In fact, at one point, it was listed all the way down to $75 million, ended up headed into bankruptcy with the mortgage holder on that, and then went to auction. So a couple people showed up at the auction, Trump being one of them, and then another investment group. Auctioned off, final sales price, $41.5 million.
Talk about a price drop.
From $100.
Jeez.
I remember when we first talked about it, we said, this will be interesting to see what this actually ends up selling for. So according to the Miami Herald, that ended up being bought by a group jointly held by DoorDash Enterprises and the owners of a hotel was the winning bidder. So it said Trump only missed it by about $500,000 from their final bid. So pretty interesting. There were some big names there. Beckhams were told to be potential bidders looking at it. Drake, rapper Drake. So it was kind of brought some crazy publicity, but that is a huge, huge drop from where they estimated that used to be. So even in the high-end world like that, it can show how value and perception and perceived value on some of those properties can change drastically.
Lance, you can always kind of relate this to some stuff you deal with where someone lists a house maybe higher than what it should have been listed for, and then they don't get the sale they need, and it leads, unfortunately, to an auction.
Well, that's one of the things, and we do see that. The same type of stuff, and that's why we always kind of laugh about these crazy celebrity real estate stories. But they do really come into the market. We've talked about pricing a lot on the show being a huge, huge indicator of what you have to do. And sometimes that's very difficult because there could be perception of maybe a view or a very unique type property. And those honestly sometimes are the hardest to do.
Sentimental value,
not like conforming to the rest of the neighborhood. Many times those unique properties are custom built for the owners. And so because of that, that value was built in for that owner and may not translate onto the resale market as much as it costs to be done. So we are always looking at that and kind of remembering these examples when we go through that. So we're coming up on that time of year when everybody says, should I list my house now? Because we're getting pretty close to the winter, Lance. What's the deal with that, and how does that really translate? So one of the things, before I talk about a couple tips on how to get the house ready for the winter, one of the things I always like to do is go back and say, okay, so are there any houses selling in the winter? So I went back and I looked at fourth quarter numbers last year, 2012, and the numbers were really high. In fact, they're always higher than we expect because people have that image. So October last year, 273 units sold. November, 235 units sold. And December, 219 sold. Now, what we find happens is a lot of times that inventory ends up dropping. So, for instance, last year, going into October, there was almost 1,400 listings on the market. That number by December had dropped to 1,200. So you have a few less sales in the gross numbers, but compared to the actual number of listings on the market, that number actually comes out to be a lot higher. So I said, okay, let's find some data that supports this. Let's not just go off of our local data. Let's look nationally and in some other markets. So I went to Redfin, a company called Redfin that lists and sells homes. They have a way bigger research and marketing department than I do. So I'm sourcing their data. And so I looked at this study and reviewed the study that they had done, and it was really interesting because based upon that study, homes listed in the winter actually sell faster. They looked at like 100,000 listings in about 4 to 5 different markets across the nation that have winter markets, and they found nationally that a house will take 46 days to sell in the winter versus 55 days in the summer.
Do you think that's because there's less inventory out there to choose from, so it becomes more of a seller's market?
Well, that's exactly right. Because there is less competition, and still we can see from our local sales numbers, still a large number of buyers in the market with the less competition, that they are selling faster. And a lot of times, those things we talked about with that news story, with the views, you're not pricing the extras into that property. You really have to get to the fundamentals of that property, because you're not going to have the yard price or the view price or some of the, you know, those extras that might naturally inflate the value just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you really kind of, a lot of times we find that those homes are priced a little better in the winter. One of the things is more homes actually tend to sell. So a lot of times we see a lot of homes go on the market, off the market, and never sell. So they looked at the number that actually sell. In the winter, 59.2% sell versus only 53% in the summer. And so I think we get a lot of that old age wives tale of, well, people testing the market. You know, oh, I think things sell better in the spring and summer, so I'm just going to throw it out there and give it a try. Hmm. Another thing nationally is that homes listed in the winter, and we just talked about this pricing, the statistics really back it up, Tom, is in the winter, nationally homes sell within 2.7% of their listed price. So within about 3% of their listed price versus 5% drop from their listed price in the summer.
Hmm.
So that on a $300,000 house, that makes that difference worth about $7,000, you know, to a potential seller. So it's really interesting to see, and one of the things about that for the winter is that nationally, there's 9.9% less homes on the market, and that's exactly what we talked about before. It's very matches up with the Tri-City local numbers we went over. So you've got about 10% less homes on the market. Days on the market drops by 6%. You're selling the homes faster. The percent sold, 6% more are selling than do in the summer. And you're getting an additional 1.4% of value by doing that. So absolutely, there's a lot of great data to say that the winter can be a great time to sell, especially around Tri-Cities. You know, last year we had a very mild winter.
You know, Lance, it's awesome how you and your team not only come in here and say, you know, these statistics, but you have research them, back them up, and they're the numbers. I mean, it completely makes sense.
Well, we just like to know what's actually happening. And when you look at those numbers and you look at our local data, you take a national study like that, and then you correspond it with our local Tri-City Association of Realtors numbers, and there's a lot of sales that are going to be happening in the next couple months. Now, there's some things you need to do to be prepared for that, and that's one of the things I wanted to remind people about today, because we're getting so many questions about that. There are things that you don't think about that we must have if you're going to be one of those sellers in the winter. Right now, is if you're looking for a fall or winter sale, it is so much easier to get painting projects done right now.
Yeah.
We always like to see the front door, the trim. We can't have peeling paint. Tom knows the appraisers, especially in older homes, the appraisers are looking for any sort of peeling or chipping paint, and that's going to be a problem on appraisal when we go to financing.
Yeah, when you have a home that's 76 or older, and there's any sort of peeling paint, the appraiser's going to call that out every time on FHA.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to correct you there and say 78.
78?
Okay. Yes. I just wanted to get June of 78, right? Yeah, we want anything 78 or before. We're overly cautious.
See, this is why
I've given you
research.
So much knowledge over the years that now you're using it against me.
I know. Well, see, it's prior to 78, but just to be on the cautious side, you know what I do? I still have 78 fill out the paperwork, because some of that paint, they didn't just throw it all away on December 31st of 77.
This is true.
Yeah. There was a carryover. Do you like to err on the side of caution around here? Mm-hmm. So one of the things we're saying is get those painting projects done in the next couple weeks if you're thinking about selling, because it's going to be a lot easier to do that.
Well, the thing of it is, all you have to do is read on the can. You're generally not supposed to do outdoor painting.
Right.
The temperature is below 50 or 60 degrees.
Exactly, and it's a lot easier right now. The next thing that I had written down is sprinkler lines. I mean, these really come back to bite us, you know, in the middle of December and January. This is one of the most requested items from buyers of homes in December, January, and February, and that is a receipt that your sprinkler lines were blown out, proof
and done properly.
That was done. One of the things, a lot of people do that themselves, and it's very difficult to prove that. I mean, you can take some photos and do some pictures, which you normally are not going to take photos of yourself out working in the yard. I know this is a new concept. But in this case, if you are considering selling, you need to do that. It's also a lot better from the other side. We get a lot less pushback if we have a receipt from a local licensed and bonded yard contracting company that does that. So normally you might do it yourself to save some money. In this instance, I would recommend, though, getting that receipt from a local company that does that.
Spend the $35 and just get it done by a professional.
Well, it's just a lot easier. We like to have that file. We hand it over to the buyers, and it's just one very quick look at, and that whole problem goes away versus a couple days' problems of verifying that it was done.
Well, another question is, how many of our listeners out there own a compressor big enough to blow out sprinkler lines?
It does. It gets a little crazy when
you got to have the big tank.
Yeah, and we like to make sure that it's done that way. So that's those are the first two big ones. We've gone over the stats. Homes are selling in the winter. I don't just go on vacation and take off because no homes are selling. There are a lot of work to be done in those winter months. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tom on the finance side a little bit about what's going on in the finance market. Talk to him about mortgages and where we're at, and a few more tips about what you can do to be ready to sell in the next couple months.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking about if houses do sell in the winter, and they actually do. The stats have shown it. We went over some local stats. Now we're talking about a couple points that you need to be ready for if you are going to sell in the next couple months. Some things that kind of slip through the cracks and don't get done, so we want to make sure that's documented. Before we get back to that, though, Tom's here with Sterling Bank, as always, our in-house lender. And Tom, I got to say, your team just really cranked it out again this week. We had a couple crazy transactions with some things that don't normally happen come up, and you guys just handled it like champions. So thanks again.
Yeah, we were just talking about this before the show. I mean, you just never know what's going to come up, and it's great to have a team that helps you work through it as efficiently as you can and close loans. I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what's going on in your world? What do we need to be thinking about?
Well, Lance, when you told me what you want to talk about today, getting ready for the upcoming winter months, I figured I better do a recap on how credit scores are comprised and how people can improve their credit to get ready to purchase in the next coming months. We've talked about this in the past. However, it's something I deal with so often, basically regularly on a daily basis. So sometimes I'll take a loan application and the client can't qualify because of their credit scores. Other times, maybe they're right on the edge of being able to get a much better program. Whichever it is, we're always looking at ways to help improve our clients' credit scores. It should be no secret that the better credit score you have, the better loan program you're going to get. So a lot of homeowners have the mindset that making their payments on time automatically equates to good credit and credit scores. Unfortunately, this couldn't be further from the truth. While paying your bills on time equates to a large portion of your credit scores, there's a lot more that goes into it. In fact, paying your bills on time only drives one-third of the points in your credit score, which means two-thirds of your credit has absolutely nothing to do with making your payments on time.
Wow, crazy.
So a lot of people don't know that. There's five different categories that go into your overall score calculation. The first is payment history, of course. Pretty self-explanatory. If you pay your bills on time, you have a long history of on-time payments, you're going to do well in this scoring category. Consequently, if you have a history of late payments, collections, charge-off, judgments, tax liens, your scores are going to suffer. The more recent that derogatory credit is, the more it's going to impact your credit score. And if you had derogatory credit 6 years ago, and since you've recovered, you're making on-time payments since then, it's not going to have as big of an impact on your credit. Lenders really like to see clean payment history in the last 12 months.
Gotcha.
So we'll deal with someone who had late payments in the past, and if we see a time that came and everything's been clean since then, we'll usually draft some sort of letter of explanation saying what they were going through during that time period, what they did to change it. Maybe they're doing a budget now, and completely okay with that. The second category is debt. This is the most important non-payment category, and it has to deal with the amount of debt you carry month to month. Now, it doesn't have as much to do with installment loans like student loans or credit cards or mortgages. It has more to do with credit card debt. So this could be Visa, MasterCard, American Express, gas cards, retail store cards. The balance you carry on your cards can affect your credit almost as much as whether or not you make your payments on time.
Wow. Okay.
So this category calculates the proportion of your balance on those credit cards in relation to the limit using a formula that's called the utilization ratio. So to find out what your current utilization ratio is, you divide the balance on a credit card by its limit. So if you owe $900 on a $1,000 limit credit card, you're at 90% utilization ratio.
Not good.
Not good. But maybe if you only owe $150 on that $1,000 limit, then it's only at 15%. So the lower that percentage is, the better you're going to score on your credit card or your credit scores. So when someone comes in and they need to improve their scores quick, this is always the first thing I look at is what are the balances on these credit cards? How can we pay them down? It's quite often that I could have someone in just 1 month improve their score by 40, 50, or even 60 points by just paying down their credit cards. So I know it's easier said than done. However, ideally, you pay your credit cards off in full every month. Basically, the lower you keep those balances, the better your scores will be. So the third category is the age of your credit. It's pretty simple. The older your accounts are, the better your score will be in this category. So I'm not talking so much about I've had credit since I was 18 and now I'm 50. I'm talking more about how long have you had your current accounts open for. So when someone, say, is paying off credit cards to improve their score like we just talked about, I always tell them don't pay off those cards, don't close those cards. Even if they have no intention of ever using them again, I just usually recommend cut them up, act like they don't exist, and keep those accounts open. That's really going to help you with the age of your accounts. Closing accounts can actually hurt your score. So the fourth category is new credit and inquiries. Most people have heard this one before. If you have your credit pulled a lot or you're often applying for new credit cards, it can actually hurt your score. Now, it's not a huge impact, but it does affect you. So I always say only apply for credit if you absolutely need it. So many times you're at the store and they say, I'll give you 10% off.
Right.
If you apply for a credit card, just say no. You don't need that credit card. In the grand scheme of things, 10% probably isn't too much savings.
Well, you got to look. Last time I checked, those companies know how to make money.
Correct.
And they're probably going to be making a lot more off of you than that 10% discount on those batteries that you're getting today.
Well, and if they charge 24% on that credit card and you say, oh, I'll just pay it off in a couple months, they're going to get their 10% back in a hurry.
Really quick. Yep. No, that's good advice, Tom.
So the last one is credit mix. And this just deals with the different types of accounts you have. If you only have an auto loan, your scores won't be as high if you have an auto loan and, say, two credit cards. So it's important to have a different variety of accounts. So lastly, the last thing I want to say about credit is not having any credit is almost as bad as having bad credit. In today's society where we're really credit-driven, it's really important to have credit accounts. If you're one of those types of people who doesn't believe in credit, and you have no credit scores, and you come to me someday to get a home loan, you're going to be disappointed with what I have to tell you.
Well, it's been really hard, and too, we know, and in fact, you know, we're even in, you know, we end up doing a lot of work with Dave Ramsey clients. Love the plan and love what's going on there, but there are some little tweaks that when it comes to that home loan that are really hard to do, and sometimes I've even had his endorsed providers on air. I've had people go to them and not be able to get that to get that loan because it was the number was such a zero. So now, if you're paying cash, no problem. But if you do need some sort of credit to make the purchase on the house, it's with the standards and what they're using. Sometimes the programs, you just can't make it fit.
You know, even if someone has a credit card that they use once every 6 months,
yeah,
that keeps your credit active. It keeps everything current. It'll keep your score valid. And lenders will see that you have this credit and you're using it responsibly.
Yep, sometimes it's just a matter of manipulating that score. So
yeah, absolutely.
Well, very good. Very good information, Tom. I know what's going to happen, and I'm going to run out of time with our tips for the winner. So before I do that, make that mistake, I'm going to get the pick three in here real quick. We've had amazing, amazing new inventory. We had one brand new house that we put on the market this week and under contract in one day. So really fantastic. We were super excited about that. One of our new listings is up at the top of Canyon Lakes, and this is on 47th Avenue up there. This is a big house up there, 3904 West 47th Avenue. And this is right off of Olson and then Canyon Lakes Drive, Olson 47th. Just gorgeous, gorgeous view up there. This is a 2006 built, Ron Osmus home built, 3,017 square feet, four bedroom, three bath, stucco, granite kitchen, gorgeous, gorgeous home, just totally dialed in up there. And just really, really, really fantastic high-end finishes by a great local builder. And that's coming in at just under $115 a square foot at $345,000. Super competitive for that neighborhood. Pick number two, we don't see too many of these in this neighborhood very often. We're going to go to Richland, and we're going to go to Meadow Springs. And so this is right by the country club up there in Meadow Springs, just one street off. This is 2400 Whitworth Avenue. And this is a three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler, but a large Rambler, almost 2,000 square foot Rambler. It's in a great little development there that has the natural green belts behind it. So you have open space, huge. You really, it feels like your yard just kind of opens up to a park back there. And this house is priced at $205,000.
Wow.
If you like to golf, you're looking for that Rambler house to downsize to, be close to the country club, this is a fantastic property coming in at $205,000. So that's a great, great pick, too. Pick number three, we're going now to West Richland. And we've just got an awesome, awesome Rambler that's been updated. This is a 92 built house, three bedroom, two bath, 5311 Blue Jay Court. they've gone through and they have done a tremendous amount of updating. They've updated the bathrooms. It's got a large master, very, very private backyard, super, super nice floor plan, and it's just a very modern house. They've gone through and they've done a ton of updating, and this is priced for $1,673 square foot, almost 1,700 square foot Rambler, priced at $189,900. So those are all brand new listings this week. Fantastic, fantastic values out there, and we're super excited. If you want to see any of those homes, kenmoreteam.com, let us know, and we'd love to get you scheduled for the weekend. Now, we've talked about preparing the house for the winter, some of the things that you can do. A huge one right now is that people are just about to start using is your heating and air system. You're going to crank that baby up. The heat's going to come on. There's going to be smoke and dust, and you're trying to figure out what happened. One of the things right now that we totally recommend for the winter, and you're going to be inside with that indoor air quality, is consider having your vents and ducts cleaned. You can have a service, for instance, we've talked about before. BF Power Vac does a great job in town. Get them in there. They'll go through. They'll clean out your ducts. They'll get all that dust out of your system because you're going to be inside a lot more. And so that air is going to be circulating in there. They'll also make sure all the coils are cleaned off of your system so that when you fire it up for the first time, you're not getting all of that burning and the stuff that you do. And you don't even want to be inside. And normally we don't think about this, so then we want to use the heat because we're inside. And now it just smells terrible in there. Totally have your system gone through. Make sure many times on our inspection reports we see that some of those heating coils and stuff are not up to speed. They're not working, so you're only getting half the heat you should. A lot easier to take care of that right now. Another thing is if you got the painting done on the outside of the house and you're going to be inside a lot more, you might want to take that opportunity to freshen up the painting inside. If you're thinking about selling, one of the things that we always talk about is taking down your family pictures. Maybe you have a lot of family pictures, a lot of specific religious references up on the walls. What happens is when you take those down, when we come in and we say, take those, you know, you want to take those photos down. When you take those down, there's what's left? A ton of holes on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the paint may have faded in the spot where the picture was. It is very, very difficult when you make that change to just touch up those individual spots. A lot of times they turn out spotty, they don't blend well. So one of the projects to work on is repaint. You're laughing over there.
Well, I was thinking about in college, you'd fill the holes with toothpaste. Can't do that with it.
Right, exactly, exactly.
That doesn't work.
That doesn't work. The buyers are looking for that, like we talked about.
Did you have some of your security deposit withheld from me in college?
Yes.
Potentially, yes.
Even spackle, because you still have to paint it.
Yes, very, very much the case. And so folks have just come from seeing the parade of homes the last couple weeks we talked about on the show. That's their major of standard for the next month or two is those parade of homes that they have seen and that level. And then when they go through and you see a long hallway, hallways are the worst because they're tight. Folks are in there. They're very close to what they're looking at. And so you might want to consider taking the wall of photos down and the family photos, repainting that wall, and getting it ready to resell. That's a huge, huge one. At the same time that you're doing that, baseboards and trim. We can't say enough. Baseboards and trim just by natural living, dragging the vacuum around, hitting the sides.
Cats,
they tend to get dinged up, and that shows up really quickly. One of the things we talked about is what are you being compared to? You're being compared to new construction.
Mm-hmm.
So those buyers are coming through, and they're deciding about buying a resale house, potentially, versus new construction. And so that will be many times your standard of measure that you're measured up against. So we want to make sure that your house is ready to go. We've talked about the stats. The homes are going to sell in the fourth quarter. We're planning on doing a ton of business in the fourth quarter, getting ready for it now, talking with clients about the information we went over today. Tom, how can people get a hold of you if they need to figure out what has to be ready for that mortgage?
You can call me anytime at the office, 783-7300, or go to my website, TomCoyneHomeLoans.com.
Perfect. If you missed that, you can always go to KenMoreTeam.com, shoot us a message, and we'll make sure we get it over there. Have another fantastic weekend. Hopefully it's not as stormy as the week that we just finished. So we'll hope for a little bit better weather as we kind of wrap up. We're ready to sell this winter. Give us a call, and we can help you out.
And we will be back next Saturday right here on News Talk 870.